The scripture readings today are several verses from Proverbs. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but the one who is quick-tempered displays folly. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. This is the word of the Lord.
So we live in a world that is simmering with anger. I think if you're honest with yourself, you can notice. You can feel it in the news cycle. We see it pop up in the social media feed. We might even hear it at our dinner tables. But how we respond to anger in ourselves and in others determines whether we walk in the way of wisdom or in the way of folly, as the Proverbs have pointed out to us. American civil rights activist Maya Angelou once said, "Bitterness is like a cancer, it eats upon the host, but anger is like fire, it burns it all clean." Leave it to a gifted poet like her to paint these powerful images in our minds with words. Anger is like fire. It can burn away what is harmful, but it can also burn away everything in its path. So the question is not really whether we feel anger. We all do, right? The real question is, where does our anger lead us? Does it refine and redeem, or does it destroy? The book of Proverbs doesn't deny that anger exists. It doesn't shame us for feeling anger. Instead, it invites us to slow down, to pay attention to it, and to walk in a different way, a way shaped by wisdom, patience, and humility. Last week, we opened this series on the book of Proverbs this summer by learning to cultivate this wisdom for life. This wisdom for life doesn't come from quick downloads. It's not quick fixes for life. It starts with reverence for God, this humble posture of dependence on the one who sees and on the one who knows and the one who loves. If you were with us last week, there was an invitation to practice this kind of reverence, developing the fear of the Lord, which we're told is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs. The invitation was to 60 seconds of silence each day, just you and God. Any of you get a chance to try that this week? And if you did, maybe you noticed silence doesn't always quiet everything. Sometimes emotions bubble up. There's impatience there. There's restlessness. There's even anger. And few things test our wisdom than how we handle that. So let me ask you, have you ever spoken too quickly in anger, only to regret it moments later? Yeah. Thanks for being honest, those of you who raise your hands. Or maybe you're the quiet type. You keep it in. You silently stew, your jaws are clenched, but you're just experiencing that same fire burning inside. Because anger isn't just a problem for a few of us. It's a familiar ground for every human being. The Bible doesn't shy away from it. In fact, it mentions anger 230 times and implies it in countless more instances. Scripture treats anger honestly. It acknowledges that what we already know, anger moves us often into action quicker than we should. The way of Jesus isn't about pretending anger isn't there. It's about facing it honestly and asking, where is this leading me? Does our anger lead us to words and actions and thoughts that build up, or is it words and actions and thoughts that tear down? That's a real struggle. Not whether you feel angry, but what your anger produces in us. You see, not all anger is the same. The Christian faith distinguishes between righteous anger and unrighteous anger. Think about the story of Jesus in the temple. He was angry. He's God, and he was angry. He overturned tables. He drove out money changers. But why did he do it? It's not because someone insulted him or disrespected him. It's not because his preferences were disrupted. His anger was aimed at injustice. You see, that part of the temple where he threw over the tables, that part of the temple was called the court of the Gentiles. That was supposed to be a place where non-Jews, outsiders to the Jewish faith, could come near to God and join with Jewish worshipers. They couldn't go as far as the Jewish worshipers, so this was the religious leaders would set apart this space for them to participate. But instead, the religious leaders there at that temple had turned the space into a marketplace, exploiting the poor and crowding out those who wanted to come and worship. Jesus' anger defended the vulnerable. It protected the space for prayer. That's an example of righteous anger. But if we're honest, most of our anger, it's not really about protecting others. It's about protecting ourselves, our sense of being right, our pride, our preferences, our plans. That's unrighteous anger. And that's why Proverbs and a lot of scripture calls us to not just feel our anger, but to face it, to be wise, and to slow down, and to ask, where is my anger leading me? Where does your anger often lead you? That's the question Proverbs keeps bringing us back to, because anger, left unchecked, rarely stays contained. It leaks out, it escalates, and it rarely travels alone. Proverbs shows us the frequent traveling companions of anger: bitterness, hatred, strife, perhaps even violence. Listen to a few of these proverbs as Jeannie hit some of them earlier. 14:16, a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. 17, a quick-tempered person does foolish things. One given to anger causes much transgression. 29:22, and 10:12, hatred stirs up conflict. How many people want to be people like that? It's not too flattering, right? Unrighteous anger destroys relationships. It stirs up conflict. It leaves behind wounds that words often can't undo. And here's the dangerous irony. Proverbs 14:16 there says, reminds us that heated anger often feels very powerful. It gives us a false sense of security and control. But that control is very fleeting. It's actually self-deception. Even Buddha wisely observed, saying this: you will not be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger. You will not be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger. Unrighteous anger always costs us something: relationships, peace, even our integrity. And at best, we dress it up and we say, well, I just want to be real. I want to be honest. I want to be my authentic self. And at worst, it's just selfish and destructive. So think about it. What's the opposite of anger? We often think it's calmness and quietness. But let's be honest, you can be calm on the outside and yet still seething with anger on the inside. The true opposite of anger, the antidote, is patience and prudence. Patience slows the fire down. Prudence sees clearly and acts wisely. And patience and prudence aren't just personality traits. They're described as the fruit of the Spirit. As Paul writes in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Patience isn't passive. It's Spirit-enabled love in action. The struggle with anger is real. The danger of anger is real. But so is the way of wisdom. And Proverbs invites us to consider and walk in that way, both in how we face anger in ourselves and also anger in others. So let's break that down together. We can't control someone else's anger, right? We can only control how we respond to it. So Proverbs shows us some of the better ways of responding to anger. First, respond with gentleness, not harshness. Respond with gentleness, not harshness. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You see, gentleness is not weakness. You can contradict someone gently. You can speak truth to someone without fueling the fire. Patience slows things down. Journalist and Civil War veteran Ambrose Bierce said this about anger. He said, speak when you're angry and you'll give the best speech you'll ever regret. Speak when you're angry and you'll give the best speech that you'll ever regret. So be gentle, not harsh. Secondly, be gracious. Proverbs 21:14 says, a gift given in secret soothes anger. Unexpected grace, that's what it's describing, a gift given in secret. Unexpected grace isn't manipulation, but it's humility. Unexpected grace cools hot tempers. Pride escalates conflict. Grace, which is giving something that's undeserved, and someone's angry at you, maybe you deserve it, maybe you don't, but giving grace disarms it. Third, seek to understand with humility. When someone's angry at you, seek to understand. Proverbs 29:8, scoffers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger. Social media nowadays thrives on scoffing. In fact, you're rewarded for it. It's called going viral. Cynicism throws fuel onto the fire, but wisdom invites us to be curious. It slows down. It asks questions. It seeks to understand. So, when someone's angry at you, be gentle, be gracious, seek to understand. I remember traveling with my family, extended family, during the early days of COVID. It was a great time to vacation. We had open access at peak season to all the national parks that we visited with no crowds at all. But it was also a time when some people, like to refer to COVID as the China virus, and Asian hate crimes were at their peak. So we were walking down this main strip of Durango, Colorado. Here's me and my son and my two nephews with our Durango, Colorado shirts. And without any prompting, after dinner, we're walking down the sidewalk. We passed by a woman standing outside the restaurant, and as we walked by, she said, COVID came from China. And it took me a moment to understand what was going on because I was talking with my nephews at the time, and by the time I realized, wait a second, we're like the only Asians on the street. Why do you need to say that? It was ignorant, it was hurtful, it's just racist. Everything in me wanted to lash out, turn around, pull up my phone, put record live on social media and turn it into a thing. But wisdom at that point held me back. I was with my kids and their cousins. We had just shared a good meal. Escalation in that moment wouldn't it really have probably changed her, but would have changed me. Looking back, though, I wish I had confronted her, not out of anger, but with gentleness and calm, humble clarity. Because not responding at all in that moment probably encouraged and enabled that drive-by cheap shot. But knowing what I know now, just a little bit wiser, having read some Proverbs, I would do the following if the situation arose again. So I offer it to you as an invitation. If you find yourself where someone's angry or expressing anger towards you, pause, look, and ask. Pause, look, and ask. You pause and you look at the person and you ask a few of these kinds of questions. Can you repeat that for me? Are you okay? Or help me to understand, why did you feel the need to say that? See, these questions do a few things. First of all, they're not you might feel angry, but they're not expressing anger. It's not stirring things up. They signal to this person that you're not getting pulled into their anger tornado, whatever it is that they're going through. And you're also, by asking them to repeat it, you're putting a mirror before them and letting them repeat the words that they just said to you. And these questions also quietly set a boundary, saying, you know, what you're doing is not acceptable behavior. And it creates space. It creates space for you, perhaps, to correct a misunderstanding. Maybe it wasn't even directed at you and you just happened to hear it. Or maybe there is something that you've done that you need to know that caused that source of anger. But it creates space. So I offer it to you. This is an invitation. When someone's angry, the wise thing to do is slow it down with patience, with gentleness, with grace, with curiosity. These things help us keep our footing so we can respond wisely rather than impetuously. Before reacting, pause, breathe, and ask questions and stay curious. That's one way that we can walk wisely in facing anger in others without becoming part of it. But here's the thing, it's far easier to manage someone else's anger than our own. Our anger, that internal fire that rises fast, it feels justified, it demands action, and yet Proverbs urges us, slow down. Here's a few Proverbs. 15:18, whoever is slow to anger quiets contention. 14:29, patience shows great understanding. A quick temper displays folly. And the letter to James, 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to listen. Thomas Jefferson added his spin to it. He says, when you're angry, count to 10. When you're very angry, count to 100. Slow down. Slowing down isn't weakness. It's wisdom. It's strength. It gives us space for God's Spirit to guide us rather than to let our emotions lead us. And here's something fascinating. In scriptures, the Hebrew word that we translate into patience literally means long of nose. Long of nose. It paints a picture, that hot breath of anger. Think of a dragon or that spurts out fire through their nose. It doesn't flare up instantly. It takes time to rise. I think that's a good graphic reminder that patience keeps the fire contained and directed in a positive way. It also reminds us that most of our anger doesn't come from others. It comes from within. It comes from our heart, our pride, our impatience. That all fuels the anger that's already there when someone gets angry at you. Henry Nouwen describes it well in his book, The Way of the Heart. He says, when we have not yet dealt with our anger and resentment, we will be triggered by every little offense or misunderstanding. Our words will not be gentle. They will carry the bitterness of our unresolved pain. When someone gets angry at us, when we feel anger rising, it's an opportunity to explore, where is that coming from? I think it hits close to home if we're honest with ourselves. When we haven't dealt with our anger that simmers under the surface, the unseen, the unspoken, the unsurrendered parts of our lives, that all leaks out in our words, in our tone, in our actions. And often other people get hurt as a result. That's why Proverbs doesn't just call us to manage our anger, but to release it to God, to entrust it to God. But that's hard to do. How do we get there? Earlier on, we looked at the first half of Proverbs 10:12 that said, hatred stirs up conflict. Anger and hatred breaks relationships. But the complementary statement in that verse is that love covers all wrongs. Love covers all wrongs. We often don't have it in us to fully overcome that power of anger that stirs up so quickly in us and in others. We don't have it in us often to love people as they deserve to be loved, especially when they've offended us, especially when they've wronged us. But as Jesus followers, practicing his way of living in this world, we have help in the power of the Holy Spirit and ultimately trust in the character and action of God. Proverbs 15:3 reminds us that God sees injustice, God sees your hurt, God sees wrongdoing, and God is just and sovereign, so we can release our anger to him. God's patience with us is the foundation for our patience with others. God has been patient with humankind's sinfulness and disobedience and hatred towards him, but God's love covers all wrongs. And nowhere do we see this kind of wrong-covering love displayed as clearly as in Christ. Because in Christ, God's righteous anger, it's justified anger towards the rebellion and of humanity and towards the destruction of his creation, that righteous anger was satisfied with Jesus on the cross. It's not poured out on us, but it's taken upon himself. And his patience with us made room for our redemption. That's the gospel. That's the good news. God's patient, sovereign, redeeming love. That's what gives us the resource to walk in the way of wisdom. You see, the way to deal with our anger isn't to be less angry. And the way to deal with our anger isn't to be more patient. The best way to deal with our anger problems is to behold God's patience and love towards us in Christ. The more we rest and reflect on that, the more we remember his patience towards us, the more we are free to extend patience to others, especially when they are angry, especially when they wrong us. So will you trust that the way of Jesus isn't just the way to God and the life to come, but the way of Jesus is actually the way of living in this life? We can cultivate a life of wisdom in response to our anger and in response to the anger of others by practicing wisdom, practicing patience and prudence. So this week, I invite you to try another practice beyond the 60 seconds of reverent awe. You can try practicing something called the breath prayer. So whenever you feel anger rising, you don't have to just do it when you're feeling angry, but this is a great opportunity to do it. Whether it's a heated conversation or whether it's a frustrating situation or whether you feel that frustration simmering beneath. Slow down, breathe, and pray. And as you do so, remember, God's patience with us shapes our patience with others. God's patience with us shapes our patience with others. So here's a couple of practical steps. One, notice. Notice what you're feeling. Some of you I've shared in the past, there's an emotions wheel for those of us like me who need help identifying our emotions. You pick it and you can find, oh yeah, that's what I'm feeling. And whenever you feel anger, whenever you just pause, notice where are you feeling tight? Where are your jaws clenching up? Is your heart starting to race? Are you starting to sweat? Are you feeling dysregulated and triggered? Another language for it. Notice those things and name them. Step two, breathe and pray. Inhale slowly in your mouth. You can do it now. 4 seconds. 4 seconds out. Out through your breath. Out through your mouth. In through your nose. Out through your mouth. And as you're breathing those words, kids, you can do this too. You can pray silently. You say, the Lord is patient. Exhale, make me patient too. The Lord is patient. Make me patient too. Alternative phrases you could use. Slow to anger, abounding in love. There's some other ones up there too. Maybe you're feeling a little calmer as a result of that. And then, after you've done that, noticing, breathing, and praying, then go and respond. Before you speak, before you act, remind yourself a gentle answer turns away wrath. Respond with patience and prudence. And if you can't do that, then just choose silence. Or just give me a moment and I'll get back to you. Anger is real, but so is the way of wisdom. For anger in others, respond with gentle words, with gracious gifts, and humble understanding. And for anger in ourselves, slow down, reflect, and speak carefully, and trust in God. Above all, rest in the patience of God, the one whose eyes are everywhere, whose justice is sure, and whose grace is enough for all of us. Let's pray. Lord, you have been patient with us. You've been slow to anger and abounding in love. Teach us to reflect that same patience towards others and within ourselves. When our anger is selfish or prideful, snuff it out. But when our anger rises for good and what is good and just, let it burn cleanly. Let it move us not to destroy, but to protect and to heal and to seek your peace in the world. Make us a people of wisdom, of courage, and of love. We ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen.